Razor's Edge Audio presents Star Wars Dreamscape by Nathan Butler, based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Computer, begin recording. I am sending this data packet for your perusal. I fully intend on briefing the Council on the entire mission upon my return, but I am sending before touchdown anyway, as per instructions. Mine is not to reason why. Right. Mine is not to reason why. Keeping tabs on me like some Padawan.
Dangerous this Quinn is. Your apprentice you should take.
Master Yoda speaks the truth. Deera would be an asset on this mission.
No. If what you said is true...
True it is. Its validity doubt you not.
If what you said is true, Master Yoda, then I cannot endanger Deera's life by taking her with me. It's not her fight.
Nor is it truly yours, Kai.
Stepped you have not on your homeworld since but a baby you were.
But it is still my home. I should be the Jedi to investigate.
We could order you to take Deera. Or not to go.
Yes, Master T'Lana, you could.
Very well. May the Force be with you.
My name is Kai Torellan. This planet, Vorash, was my home. I was born here. Only when I was here, my parents were virtually nobility. The world was a model of democracy. Today, it's something else. Because of one man.
If you're going to enter, be kind enough to close the door behind you.
Zirik Paul?
Quinn.
Whatever you're calling yourself now, my name is Kai Torellan. The Council has sent me. You're leaving with me, walking or feet first. Doesn't matter to me. That's far enough.
Fine. I'll collect my towel from here. A tad paranoid, are we, young knight? Tell me, what are you really here for? This is my home now.
You're a self-styled warlord at best. This isn't your world to rule.
Really? I don't see people rioting in the streets. I don't see dead bodies lying at my feet. Today, at least.
You took this world by force, you and your dark Jedi brothers. These people are not your...
And who decided that? The Council, I suppose?
Yes.
One thing about the Council. They certainly do like tradition. Standard operating procedure. Tell me, do they still teach young Jedi the same lightsaber construction? Yes. Emitter, lenses, gems... Power cell. You'd think they'd teach you to make them safer. One misalignment to the right point and...
He knew precisely how to manipulate the alignment of my saber's lenses, Masters. I realized what he was doing a split second before he caused it to explode, forcing me backwards into the wall of the dojo. Before I could recover, he tossed his towel aside and leaped toward the wall, rebounding off of it, and body-checking me into the wall again, dropping me to my knees. He stared into my eyes, boring into my soul, as he reached up to take my head in his hands.
The Council tells you to leave your preconceptions, that you must unlearn what you have learned, yes? You have no idea how right they are. Allow me to enlighten you.
When I opened my eyes, if you can call it that, I was still in the dojo, but not. It was like the dojo, but the lighting was all wrong. And instead of being on the floor with the Dark Jedi in front of me, I was standing in the center of a pool of light, the Dark Jedi nowhere to be found. Then he spoke from out of the darkness beyond the pool of light in which I stood.
Welcome, Jedi, to your awakening, to the freeing of your mind and the opening of your eyes. Please make yourself comfortable.
From out of the darkness, a chair zipped out of the void toward me. I leaped out of its way, searching for the man who called himself Quinn, but a force push came out of nowhere, knocking me backwards and down onto the chair.
This is how you perceive the world around you, Jedi. You see only the narrow events surrounding you that the Jedi Council wishes you to see. All around you, in everything that does not follow your vaunted Jedi code, you find blackness encircling you. Perhaps in such a galaxy where you Jedi are the only light, you fear that in the end you cannot triumph. But there are alternatives to fighting your way. There are other paths, like mine.
Finally, he emerged amid another pool of light. I surged up from the chair, whirling around to grab it and use it to fend off the villain, only to find that it had vanished. I tried to toss a comment at him, but I could not bring my voice to work.
Think, Jedi. Don't speak. The rules of the outside world do not apply here.
Where have you taken us?
Consider this another plane. A shadow realm that exists in the minute gaps between our own conscious thoughts and the guidance of the Force. I believe your Jedi Council would call it the Dreamscape.
I have never heard of such a place.
Indeed. Not surprising. As tightly as the 12 maintain control of so-called dangerous secrets, it's a wonder you're even allowed to build your own lightsaber.
The Council does not hide such truths.
You deny that the Jedi Council seeks what I have inadvertently found on this world?
Conquest? A world to exploit?
Control.
The Jedi do not seek control.
Really? Tell me, Jedi, if the Republic were to decide that the Jedi were no longer needed, no longer wanted, and ask the Jedi to leave their position of power, would the Council or the Order itself give up their places in society willingly?
That isn't the same.
It is. The Jedi wish to control their own destinies and that of everyone else, in the guise of safeguarding the galaxy at large. The Council wishes to control the Jedi Order, acting as puppeteers. It is control. No more, no less.
No, the Jedi are not puppeteers, nor masters, nor rulers. We are protectors. We act as we do because the galaxy needs us.
Because you are the Jedi?
Yes.
Because you are the guardians of peace and justice.
Yes!
You are an idiot.
As I stepped toward him, he disappeared. I heard his footsteps emerge behind me and spun to face him again, only to find him gone. Two more such instances, and I finally found myself facing him, standing halfway across the room.
See? Tell me, O lauded guardian of peace and justice, if neither of those truly exists, what do you really serve?
Peace is attainable. Justice simply is.
Really? Tell me, when have you ever heard the history of civilization noted in the periods of peace and not the wars we wage? Why are there volumes charting the ebb and flow of violence, turmoil, and strife in the galaxy, yet but a third of that amount dedicated to the times of so-called peace? When has there ever, in your memory, been a period in history where no civilization has been at war? Never.
War is not inevitable. We can overcome it. We have overcome it in many situations on many worlds. The galaxy is a safer, more peaceful place because of the Jedi.
You've ceased hostilities.
Yes.
You've vanquished evil.
Yes.
That's not peace.
With that, a blast of wind slammed me off of my feet and onto my back. I saw Quinn swing his right arm out wide, a chair appearing in it from out of the ether. He slid the chair toward me across the floor, leaping into the air and landing on its back, perched like a bird of prey, peering down at me from his position with a mixture of arrogance and, if you can imagine it, what seemed like enlightenment.
Peace is not what you offer. You offer violent solutions in the guise of being agents of peace and then convince yourselves that deterrence is peace.
He tossed me into the air by my collar, forcing me to flip and twist to land on my feet. I saw him swing his hands outward to his sides as two lightsabers flew toward him from somewhere unseen, landing in his waiting palms. As he ignited one, he tossed the other to me. I activated mine and charged toward him. We exchanged a few quick blows until we found ourselves locked together, our blades crossed and our noses nearly touching over them.
Is this peace, Jedi?
Ask me again.
This is what you offer to the galaxy, Kai Taralan. This is your peace, The elements seeking violence are not pacified. They are not ever truly vanquished. They are not shown the error of their ways. They are held at bay by fear of the might of the Jedi, just as the Jedi are wary of their evil ways. Two sides, ready to vanquish the other, but held together in a balance of mutual deterrence. You cannot hunt them all down without society clamoring for your heads as you tear through world after world, weeding out all those who do not fit your ideals. They cannot continue their overt preying on the weak or the innocent without your sabers coming down on their heads. Two sides locked in an uneasy cold war, not in peace, in deterrence through fear. Fear, Jedi. That which you associate with the dark side. Are we truly so different?
You serve only yourself. We serve justice. I forced him away, delivering two more blows that sent his lightsaber sailing away into the darkness. I twirled my saber and delivered two fierce vertical slashes to his body, intending on killing him, or at least severing our connection to whatever this dreamscape was. But instead, I saw him blur and shift in focus, becoming three images of the man instead of one, as if I'd had too much Corellian ale. But my eyes were not deceiving me. The man had split with my slashes, becoming three separate Quins, who began to circle around me.
What is justice, Jedi? A despot rules with an iron fist. When he is taken down by an uprising, is this justice? And when this uprising is put down by a military force for murdering their former ruler, is that justice? And when the son of a rebel killed for participating in the revolt kills the commander of the military force who killed his father, what of that? And when the son of the commander strikes down the man who killed his father, and when the family of the latest victim sends bounty hunters after the commander's son, and when a Jedi stops the bounty hunter from filling his contract and taking a life, is that justice? We are all wrong, Jedi. We are all seeking our own kind of justice. You and your Jedi are, as am I.
What possible justice could you seek?
Do you know why I'm called Quinn?
Because you assume the name Quintus.
And what of that name?
Perhaps your old one didn't suit you anymore, Zerik.
I took it in honor of the five of us who originally came here.
Who killed the High Council and took over their planet. As the first Quinn raised an eyebrow at my comment, the second punched me in the stomach, doubling me over, allowing the third to kick me in the head. As my vision swayed, I fell to my knees, but the first of them used the force to lift me off the ground, holding me a hand's length above the floor.
As hard as it may be for you to believe, Jedi, we saved this world.
Somehow I doubt that.
The Council was corrupt. We came here at the behest of the High Counselor so that we might kill the people's heroes. And what we found was a world where people asked us to liberate them. We, the persecuted, we, the evil ones, who had fallen from your grace, Jedi. We were asked to liberate the people. The Council was ruling them as a labor force and controlling them as one would droids in a factory, nothing more. We saw our opportunity to make a home where we could be free from your kind, to live our own way, and to live among a people who were happy to have us in their midst.
All you had to do was what? Kill the Council? Kill their Jedi advisor and then take the reins of power, and the people would just welcome you with open arms? Sorry, Quinn, I'm not buying. He released me then, allowing me to drop to the floor. Surprisingly, instead of attacking, the one who had held me stepped away from me toward the darkness.
Believe what you will. Nevertheless, it is the truth. Is it truly so hard to believe that we would simply want to make a home for ourselves?
And give up a life of maiming, murder, destruction, and wanton cruelty? Where's the fun in that for a dark Jedi?
Why do you think the Dark Jedi, why do you think the Sith Lords, in centuries past, fought as hard as they did against the Jedi?
The dark side drives your kind to evil. You were attempting to—
Your kind was attempting the genocide of my kind. You lightsiders, so caught up in your own grandiose notions of purity, did you ever stop to think why the great schism that formed the first Sith Order became the conflict that it was? Or why almost 2,000 years ago, another Sith order emerged from a single Dark Jedi's beliefs. It was because they were different. Those who followed the so-called light could not allow one of their own to speak in defiance of their traditions, their ways.
The conflict between light and dark side was never about good versus evil. Never about a light side and a dark side. There is no light or dark side. There is only the Force. What there was, what there is a difference in ideology, and while at first my kind was content to seek their own path, it was your kind that deemed that our chosen path was wrong, and sought to keep us from spreading our tainted message. This war, this entire eternal struggle between you and us, it was all started by your kind, not mine. How utterly poetic in its tragedy.
You killed a Jedi who was doing his duty.
And then several of yours killed four of us barely months later, and I killed them in return. The wheel turns, does it not?
You call that justice?
Yes.
I call it simple, petty vengeance.
They are one and the same.
You're out of your...
Kai?
I spun around to see Deera standing there. No, not Deera. A phantasm meant to look like Deera. Deera was on Coruscant. My logical mind knew that, my instincts knew that, but for some reason, my perceptions couldn't agree. Deera? How did you... I held out my hand to her, but she just walked right past me. Right to the first Quinn, putting her hand on his shoulder. I wasn't sure what it meant, but I wasn't going to allow him to seduce her to his ways. I made ready to lunge at him, but the other two grabbed me from either side, holding me stationary.
Deera, is it? Your lovely Padawan learner?
Yes. He stroked her cheek with his hand, and I wanted to tear each finger from it. He kissed her hand, and I wanted to rip the lips from his smirking face. But no matter how much I struggled, I couldn't get free.
But she is something more than that to you, isn't she? My, my. A Jedi Knight in love with his Padawan. What would Yoda say?
Hit on Padawan, you will not. Bad juju that brings, yes.
Even we don't try to stifle our most basic of instincts.
I couldn't move, so I just glared at him as if I could destroy him by sheer force of will. He took her head in his hands, kissing her forehead. What I wouldn't have given to snap those hands off of the wrists. He must have sensed my distress. His smirk became a snarl as he twisted her head in his grip, snapping the Phantom Deera's neck as if she was nothing. No!
Does it hurt, Jedi?
I'm going to kill you.
And would that be justice?
Yes.
Or would it be vengeance?
It would be both.
Then perhaps you begin to understand how I felt when the Wookiee Jedi they sent here after us killed my wife. She was my apprentice. She was my love. And she was killed for your kind's justice. Just like the others. Yes, Jedi. I know a thing or two about seeking justice.
As the speaker stepped back, I saw the other two vanish at my sides, leaving me free. On the face of the other man, I saw a tear rolling down a pale cheek. He raised his hand as if casting magic, and in no more than an instant, we were back in the real world. He released my head and moved away from me, allowing me to stand.
Now, perhaps you begin to understand.
From off to the side, I heard a sound I couldn't immediately recognize. It seemed too out of place in the warrior's home to make sense to me. But my senses were correct. A small, bouncing ball came hopping into the room from the opposite doorway, followed by a sound I would never have expected. The laughter of a child. The ball came to a rest at Quinn's feet, where he kneeled to retrieve it.
Oops.
You should keep an eye on this, Haran. You don't want to lose it again.
I know, Daddy.
Run along back out and play now, okay?
Okay. Bye, person I don't know.
You're...
Yes. My son. My wife was pregnant when we first arrived. He's what I have left from what the Jedi took from me. The Circle of Vengeance and Justice took my wife, but spared my son. Maybe your light side does sometimes favor us, even if the Jedi Order does not.
With his back to me, he stepped over to a box on a nearby shelf. When he opened it, I could see a lightsaber inside. He retrieved it and tossed it to me, where I caught it one-handed. With arms spread in a gesture devoid of ill intent, he stepped in my direction.
We're the same, Jedi. Kai. We're just men. Dark side, light side. It's our intentions, our perceptions, how we justify it to ourselves. But it's all force. And we are just men. And this is now my home. Strike me down if you must, if that is what you must do. But I'm not leaving here. If I am to die, let it be in my own home.
He kneeled before me, exposing his neck for the death blow. I stood there, considering him, the lightsaber humming at the ready in my grip. He closed his eyes as I made my choice. I carry with me now the lightsaber of Zirik Pal, Quintus. I have faced Quintus on Vorash and have survived. Vorash is no longer a threat. I leave behind me a world ruled not by a dark Jedi, but by a man. Not a killer, not an agent of evil or darkness, but a father, proud and loving as any other. I had not believed that a man could change. I had not believed that love could be born of one who had once learned to hate with such violence. But I was wrong. The living force has been served. The search for justice on my homeworld is over. But for me, the search for answers to the doubts within myself begins. And that will be the most difficult task of all. This is Kai Tarallon, en route from Vorash. End report.
You've been listening to a Razor's Edge audio presentation of Star Wars, Dreamscape, starring Matthew Gordon as Kai Tarallon, Michael Haspel as Zirik Pal, a.k.a. Quintus, Amy Farrell as Dira Rita, Brian Bassetti as George Hilana, David Gansel as Harren Pal, and Nathan Butler as Yoda and narrator. Written, directed, produced, cast, mixed, and music supervised by Nathan Butler. Based on an original concept by Nathan Butler and Pete Dixon. Star Wars Dreamscape is a non-profit fan production produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Wars and any other copyrighted materials herein, including any music and sound effects, are reserved to their original creators. No infringing claims are intended. Extra special thanks from the entire creative team to George Lucas for creating the playground and letting us, the fans, roam within it. This audio drama has been dedicated to Nick Long and Pete Dixon, for whom Dreamscape was originally written as a short film script. From all of us at Razor's Edge Audio, thank you for listening, and may the Force be with you all.